Good evening. It is good to see the good number that we have out this evening. We're very thankful for your presence. We are especially thankful for any and all visitors that we have. We want you to know that you are our most honored guest. We appreciate so much your desire to come out and to join with us as we study from the Word of God. As I say that, I want to reiterate that we are here to study from the Word of God. We're not here to study from the creeds and doctrines of men, but to look and to see what the Bible has to say. And to strive to live our lives and to worship God in a way that is pleasing to Him according to the things that He has set forth. And so we encourage you to open up your Bibles and to study along with us. We also encourage you, as we have on the welcome PowerPoint there, we encourage you as we read in Acts 17 and verse 11 to be like those noble Bereans, and that you take the things that are studied, you go home, and you study them yourselves to compare them with the Scriptures to make sure that the things being taught are so. That's why we provide an outline. That's part of the reason why we provide an outline for these things, so that you can take these things, you can take your notes, you can have all the Scriptures and everything that we provide, and you can go home and you can study them yourselves to make sure that these things are the truth of God's Word. This evening we're going to do a look at a lesson that is needful from time to time, because it's easy for us to catch ourselves not paying attention. I mean, anyone who's been married for a good long period of time, you've learned how to not pay attention, right? Honey, I need you to take out the trash. Hey, honey, I need you to take out the trash. A little bit later, Austin might come to the stairs. Hey, go take out the trash! It's a new voice. I pay a little bit more attention to it. It's not necessarily that I was ignoring her all the time, but that I had become so accustomed to it that I was able to tune it out. It's just like when you have a small child, and anyone who's had a small child, you know that there are times when they're not happy, right? There are times when you can feed them, you can bathe them, you can change their diapers, you can do everything that the books tell you to do, everything that mom and dad tell you to do, everything that grandma says will work, and it just won't work. They might scream and scream and scream and scream. And you learn to not pay attention so much after a while, or you begin to have your ears bleeding or other things. It's easy for us to get to a point to where we just don't pay attention like we used to. We allow ourselves to take part in so many things that it's not really required for us to pay attention. I mean, do we really have to pay attention to our television? Are the producers of those television programs and such, do they really care if you pay attention? What they care about is that you catch on to those little jingles that happen every 10 to 15 minutes, and that you might pick up the phone and call that number, or you might go and buy that product, because that's the only thing they're really concerned with that you pay attention to, is their way of making money on these things. And so we allow ourselves to go and to do things and to reach a point to where we just don't listen. All of you who are parents will understand this. All of you who are kids, which that pretty much makes us all, right? Kids don't listen, do they? They don't. Brooklyn. I feel pity for Brooklyn and Austin. I do, because I was the son of a preacher, and therefore my name came up in many sermons, just like my other three siblings. But, you know, there are times where you'll say things like, Brooklyn, I want you to do this, 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 and this. She hears this. And she goes and she does that. I'm done. What, you didn't do this? Oh, I didn't hear you. And we've all done that, haven't we? I mean, I can tell you where she got it from. If you don't believe me, just call up Jerry and Dottie Henderson and say, was Tim a good listener? No, no, no. So I'm not, she got it honest. It's in the genes. But we find ourselves getting to a point sometimes where we just don't listen like we should. We don't pay attention. But as we look in the Scriptures, we see Jesus using a phrase multiple times throughout the Scriptures. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 11, in Matthew chapter 11, look there in verse 15 at what Jesus has to say, what we see being said about John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 11, there in verse 15, Jesus speaking about John the Baptist, talking about all these things, the prophets and the law that they told of John, and that John was the Elijah who was to come. He says in verse 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
You go on over just a couple of chapters there. Go over to Matthew chapter 13. And there in verse 9 is Jesus is teaching in parables. And He's teaching the parable of the sower. And as He's teaching this parable of the sower, as He finishes that up, He says there, "He who has ears, let him hear." Later in that same chapter, as He's finishing up explaining the parable of the tares that He has given them. As you look in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 43, again, we see that phrase, "He who has ears, let him hear." You could jump on over to the end of the Bible, going over to the book of Revelation. And then Revelation 2 and in Revelation 3, we find a series of seven letters being written to seven churches there in Asia during the first century. And each of these letters ends with a familiar phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The idea here, the point that's being said is these things are important. Listen up. Give great attention to the things that are being said. I'd like to think, and that's as far as I could get, I'd like to think that I was such a wonderful speaker and so wonderfully intelligent that every word that proceeds from my mouth is worth remembering. I'm smart enough to know that that is not true. But when it comes to listening to the Word of God, when it comes time to listen to the things that the Word of God has to say to us, it's time to perk up our attention. It's time to set aside all the distractions. It's time to prepare ourselves to truly listen to the Word of God. As we look at these things, we can see that there are three types of listeners that we find in the Scriptures. Going throughout the Old Testament, we find them described over and over and over again, as they're talked about in the New Testament, as being dull of hearing. You wise know what that means, don't you? It's what I described. Men become dull of hearing. Now, I've got a lot of reasons that I could give for my hearing going bad. I worked in plants where others can understand. You've got loud machinery all around you, and they give you these nice little earplugs, but you don't always remember to put them in your ears. And so you go in there, and you work around this loud machinery, and it's right there next to your ear. Then also you have these wonderful things in your cars called stereos with nice speakers, and you like certain music like me that's high-pitched and it's best when listened to loud. And so from the age of 16 to the age of 39, you're still listening to this music at extremely loud decibels. And we cause our hearing to go bad. But that's not the kind of hearing that's being talked about here in the Scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 5, there in verse 11, the author of Hebrews is speaking about the Hebrew Christians saying that they were dull of hearing. It says in Hebrews 5 and verse 11, "Concerning him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain." Now listen, he's saying, we've got a lot of things we want to talk about, and a lot of things that are very difficult for us to get across to you, but we want to make sure that you can understand it. But we can't really do this because, since you have become dull of hearing. You see, the fault here was not in the person presenting the material. They were capable of presenting the material in an understandable way. The problem here was not in the material that was to be received. Yes, it was difficult material, but those presenting it were able to do it in a way that they would have understood. The problem was they were dull of hearing. They had quit listening. Just like we did to our parents when our parents constantly told us, "Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this," or "Do this, do this, do this," and we just reach a point where we quit listening. Isaiah wrote of this type of people. And Jesus spoke of that. He quoted Isaiah. If you go over to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, let's begin reading there in verse 13. When he's asked, "Why are you talking in all these parables? You know, people aren't understanding." Jesus says in verse 13 of Matthew 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. The people had reached a point to where they had quit listening. They had quit seeing. If you've ever driven down the same stretch of road repeatedly, over and over and over daily, then you know what that is, because you reach a point where you don't even remember going past certain things. Or maybe you've read something so many times that you find yourself skipping through and you don't even remember reading something. That's what's being talked about here, the idea of being a dull listener. There's also those who listen because they want to have their ears tickled. One of my favorite things as a parent is tickling my kids. I always try to ask permission. Can I tickle you? And as kids, we love that. We love when our parents tickle us. We love when our grandparents tickle us. You know, we love that reaction that we have, especially when they will stop when we ask them to. And you know, as people, we like to have our ears tickled too, don't we? We like to hear things that are pleasant to the ears. We like to hear things that make us feel better about ourselves. We like it when we get up and our spouse says, "You know, your hair is looking amazing today." Yeah, I don't get that one. But I have gotten, "Well, those pants, they make you look slim." Or, "You're losing weight." And you know what? "You just look nice today." We like hearing those things, don't we? How many people do you know of that just when someone says, "You look nice today," that's the last thing I wanted to hear today. We like being complimented. We like having things that make us feel better. And while there's nothing wrong with that in a sense, we need to make sure that we don't reach that point to where we don't want to hear the negative. We don't want our wives to say, "You know, you've been eating a lot of these things that I think are going to be bad for your cholesterol. Or, you know, I see that you're out of breath a lot going upstairs. And maybe you need to, you know, go see a doctor or something. Maybe you've got something wrong." Or, "You're not going to wear those shoes with that skirt, are you?" We don't like to hear the negative things that sometimes we need to hear, sometimes aren't necessary. The same is true with the Word of God. Oftentimes people want to hear all the positive sides. They love reading and studying about the love of God. They love reading about how Jesus came to this earth and died for them to pay the debt for their sins. But they don't like reading the part about, "Well, I have sins. And God's going to have an expectation of me to obey His commandments, to obey His laws." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, there in verse 3, the Apostle Paul, writing to this young preacher Timothy, he speaks of a time that's going to come, a time that came during the life of Timothy, a time that has continued on ever since, because we still live in these last days and the same attitudes are present today. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's begin reading there in verse 3. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." They'll turn away from the things that are truth. They'll turn away from the things that are sound doctrine. "Well, I know the Bible says that, but I don't believe that God would do that." And so they're going to turn away and find someone that'll give them what they want to hear. And then the other listener that we read of in the Scriptures are those who listen with a good and honest heart. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, in the parable of the sower, Jesus said, "But the seed," as He's explaining this thing, "the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the Word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." The Bereans, as I mentioned at the beginning of the lesson there in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, they were those listeners with a good and honest heart. They were the ones that listened attentively to the things that were being said and made sure that it was the Word of God they were listening to and then obeyed the things that were taught. You see, being an honest and good-hearted listener, it will show in how we receive the Word and how we react to it. You see, we need to understand the importance of listening well to the Word of God. First and foremost, we need to understand that good listeners are blessed. If you look with me in Matthew chapter 13, So go back to Matthew chapter 13. Let's look there in verse 16. Remember, Jesus had talked to them and talked about how they were those that were dull and they weren't seeing and they weren't hearing. And in Matthew chapter 13, there in verse 16, he continues on in that same thing. He says, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." You see, those who listen with a good and honest heart, those who listen well to the things that God has presented, they're going to be blessed. We're blessed because David, King David, desired to know the things that we have readily available right here in God's Word. That we can sit down and we can read and we get to listen to messages that are presented that Solomon in all his wisdom wished that he would have been able to hear. That Abraham in all of his life of serving God, he desired to know these things that God said, well, through your seed all nations will be blessed. Well, how? In what way? What's going to happen? He didn't know. It was never revealed to him. The prophets who gave all these big prophetic visions, they didn't understand it. When Isaiah was prophesying about the death of Messiah and all the things, he didn't have an understanding of all those things. These were things that God was giving to him, and he desired to know more about it. But if you're listening today, we get to hear. We get to have the mystery revealed for us. You're blessed if you listen. If you listen, you can have faith. Look with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, beginning there in verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it," in what? The gospel. "The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Well, how do we get faith? We'll go on over a few chapters. We've got to have faith in this gospel. How is this gospel delivered? In Romans chapter 10, let's begin reading in verse 14. In verse 13 we read, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Paul goes on to say in verse 14, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?" So faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Think about these things. By listening to the Word of God, we can have the faith that we need. Understand, I fully believe that we can have faith in God apart from listening to gospel sermons. We can read the Word ourselves, but in reading it, what are we doing? We're listening to the words of the apostles. We're listening to the words of the prophets. We're listening to the things that God has prepared for us. Faith comes from hearing. You want to have a stronger faith, then you need to listen well to the things that are being taught. Listening aids us in bearing fruit. Each and every one that is a member of the Lord's body has a responsibility to bear fruit. How many times do we see Jesus talking about fruit in the kingdom? And He talks about in a vineyard. And if a vine's not bearing fruit, what do? Snip, throw it out, burn it. If a tree's not bearing fruit, we read that Jesus talks about the tree that's not bearing fruit. They're going to go out and they're going to dig it up and remove it and put something in there that will bear fruit. We as Christians should be bearing fruit, but why do we not? I don't know enough. I don't feel confident enough in my knowledge to talk to others about Jesus Christ. Well, listening will help. You know, one of the negatives of a preacher, and you try not to let this get to you, but you do. Teacher, Bible class teacher, I don't care who you are. As you preach on a particular subject, and you think you've given that subject a really good sermon, and you think you were really clear on something, and you know the ones that were present, you remember who was there, and then they come up to you and they ask you a question on a subject that you just preached on. And they ask you a question in such a way that it tells you they never heard any kind of an answer given. And that bothers you, doesn't it? You ever sit down with your children when they're doing their schoolwork and you go through and you say, okay, well, you need to do this. If you're going to do this math problem, you need to do this. And then you need to do that. And you need to follow these rules. And these are things that you need to do. Now go to your room and work on that. And then they come back a little bit later, and it's not that they don't understand the process. They just didn't listen. And they ask you the exact same question they asked you before. It's a little different with the child because they're in a learning process. Their brain is developing at a certain pace. But it's a little bit more problematic when it's a member of the church who has heard numerous lessons on a particular subject and they still come and ask those same questions. Why? Because they haven't been listening. Listening well will help you in bearing fruit. Go back again, if you would, to Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, that seed there in verse 15 that fell on good soil, that good soil were those who listened with a good and honest heart. And what did they do? They hold it fast and they bear fruit with perseverance. That's because bearing fruit comes from understanding the grace of God. Colossians chapter 1. There in verse 60, the Apostle Paul says, which has come to you just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Understanding the grace of God will bring fruit. But it requires listening. The gospel was that which was bearing fruit for the Colossians. Listening also helps to prevent against apostasy. You see, this was the problem of the Israelites. The reason they constantly went away from God was because they didn't listen. The word was read to them, but they didn't listen. They had certain things that were given to them, and they had responsibilities, but they didn't take the time to listen to the word of God, to read from the word of God. In fact, they forsook it for so long, it had been lost. No one knew where it was. Are we that way with God's word today? We listen to it so little that it becomes lost. Honey, where did I lay my Bible down? I haven't seen it in a while. But if we listen to the Word of God, if we listen to the lessons that are being preached, if we listen to the principles that are being taught, then there's a lot of apostasy that's going on in the world today that we can easily know is wrong. You know, there's some very simple passages that have been covered multiple times in Bible classes and in sermons talking about the second coming of Christ. About the end of the world. And yet you have people who have attended the worship services all their life that still misunderstand about how it's going to be when the Lord returns. I'm not talking about a babe in Christ who's trying to learn these things, but someone who has sat through classes on the book of Revelation, that has studied the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, that have looked at these things and have had ample opportunity on their own to read and study and to show themselves approved. But they read these things. And they sat in on the Bible classes, but they didn't listen. And so when someone came in and began to teach something that was not in accordance with the Word of God, they were easily swayed. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. There in Hebrews chapter 2, the author of Hebrews gives a warning on this very thing. In Hebrews chapter 2, let's begin reading there in verse 1. The author of Hebrews says, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation after it was at the first spoken through the Lord and it was confirmed to us by those who heard? Pay attention. We must pay much closer attention. Why? So that we don't fall astray. So that we don't drift. Paying attention. Listening. Helps to prevent apostasy. Listening also helps us to avoid being rejected by God and being condemned for eternity. Anyone who was like me as a child got spankings. I could have avoided a lot of spankings if I'd have just listened to what Dad said. If I'd have just paid attention, I wouldn't have been condemned for the things that I did. And you know, if I'd have just listened to some of the things that my father taught me when I was younger, I wouldn't have faced some of the heartache that I faced after moving out and living on my own. And there are many that are going to face judgment, thinking they have eternal life waiting for them. And they don't, because they weren't listening properly. They weren't listening to everything that was put forth. In Matthew chapter 10, there in verse 14, as Jesus is sending them out, He says to them, "Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." By choosing not to listen, we judge ourselves unworthy of eternal life. In Acts chapter 13, as Paul and Barnabas are traveling on that first missionary journey, we find them there gathered together and preaching in the Sabbath, preaching on the Sabbath. And the whole city had come together. But the Jews were rejecting these things. They were filled with jealousy and they were rejecting these things. The Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." We must listen. If we reject the gospel, whether it's through poor listening or just not listening at all, then the men of Nineveh and the Queen of Sheba will rise up against us. The men of Nineveh, as you can go ahead and turn it over to Matthew chapter 12. This is what we're making reference to. The men of Nineveh, this is from the days of Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah? Jonah the big fish? Jonah was sent to preach to the men, to the city of Nineveh, and he didn't want to go because they were the enemy. He wanted God to destroy them, and so he tried to go the opposite direction, and a storm was brought up, and he said, "Look, I'm the reason why the storm is here. You throw me over, you guys will be safe." And God caused a big fish to come up and swallow him, and he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days. And finally, you know, Jonah realized, okay, I've got to do what God wanted me to do. He wasn't listening himself because he didn't want to. So the fish spits him out on the shore, and he goes and begins to speak to the people of Nineveh. Now, the people of Nineveh in that day and time were the absolute worst people the world had. Horrible, horrible individuals, full of every kind of sin and vice and just terrible people. That's why Jonah didn't want to go and preach. But they repented when destruction was to be brought upon them. When Jonah began to preach that which God had given him to preach, they repented. They listened. They heeded. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, "The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." If we refuse the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to face the men of Nineveh. As we see further, we're going to face the queen of the south because she listened to these things. And so let's close out the lesson by looking quickly at some things that can help us in our listening. In all things, number one is prepare yourself to listen. By preparing yourself to listen, there's a lot of things that you have to do. You have to make sure that you're rested. Why did we not learn so many things in high school? Because we didn't allow ourselves to be properly rested before we went to school and we slept through classes. Prepare yourself to listen. Then go about making listening an act of worship. Think about it. What are we listening to? Some rantings of some individual? Well, yeah, some sermons end up being that. You're listening to the Word of God. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing more important in your life than listening to the Word of God. And so make listening to the Word of God an act of worship. Listen from the beginning to the end. As I mentioned before with Brooklyn, and I was the same way. You know, you hear this, and okay, I'm going to go and do that, and you don't listen to anything else. And too many people listen to the Word of God in the same way. Well, you got to hear, you got to believe, you got to repent, you got to confess. Okay, I'm done. But the Bible goes on to say that we're to believe and be baptized, to repent and be baptized. Well, I didn't hear that part. I heard the hear, believe, confess, and repent. I heard the preacher say, well, you know, this is okay. And they didn't realize that he was saying this was okay under other dispensations of time. We've got to listen from beginning to end. Listen to all that is being said. Look at the speaker. It helps you to focus on the things that are being said. Look at the lesson that's being provided to you. Look at the things that are provided, whether it be in a PowerPoint projection or in the outline that's provided. Look at the Scripture while it's being read. Look, give attention to these things. Read along in your Bible. You know, it helps you to retain the things that you're learning if you're reading along with that which is going on. You remember more of what you both see and hear over what you simply hear. And so read along in your Bible. Then listen with faith. Listen with faith that this is the Word of God, that these things are being presented in the way that they should, that God is speaking to us. In Hebrews chapter 4, we see that those of the Israel nation, they died in the wilderness because they didn't listen with faith. They didn't truly believe in God that He was able to do the promises that He set forth. And then as we talked this morning about preparing yourself for action, listen with a mind to act. Listen with the purpose of doing the things that we're taught. We need to make sure that we are doing the things that God's Word is telling us to do. That we're listening with an attitude of, whatever God tells of me, that I will do. That we are like Samuel. Remember Samuel? Left in the house of Eli as a young child, raised by Eli there, who was the high priest and the judge. And as Samuel came of age, he was sleeping and he heard a message. Samuel. Samuel thought Eli was calling him, so he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. What you need?" Eli said, "I didn't call for you. Go back to sleep." And this happened multiple times. And finally, Eli realized that God was talking to Samuel. And he said, "Look, here's what you do. When you hear your name again, you say this. You say, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" We need to have that attitude when it comes to listening to the Word of God. God, whatever you ask of me, I'm willing to do. Even if it goes against what I want to do. Even if it goes against what I desire to do. Even if it goes against what the rest of the world says is okay. God, I'm ready to do whatever you ask of me. We need to learn to listen. Learn to listen well, not just to the sermons. Preachers would love for people to listen better to their sermons, and part of that's a little bit of vanity. You know, they just want people to listen to them and you know, make them feel a little bit better about their work is actually not in vain. But more importantly, listen to the Word of God. Most importantly, listen to the Word of God, whether it's in a Bible class, a Scripture reading, or from the songs that we sing. Listen to these things. Pay close attention to them. Study them to make sure that they're the truth. And listen with a mind to act. Do the things that are taught. The invitation is offered to you this evening. If you've heard the Word of God and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you are beginning your journey towards eternal life. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth and lived a perfect life so that you could have eternal life, that He came to this earth and He died on the cross for your sins. If you understand that your sins are those things that are separating you from God, and that it's not because someone else says that it's wrong, but because God is displeased in these things, then you come forward and repent of your sins, confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be buried in baptism. In baptism, we're in the likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Just as He arose from the dead for life eternal, we arise from the dead. The death that we are in sin, we arise to walk in newness of life. That's what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ at some point in your time, but you've not lived in a way that you should. You've quit listening. Well, it's time to wake up. It's time to give heed to the Word of God. It's time to repent of your lack of attention. To repent of turning away from God's Word. To repent of not allowing God to work in your life because you weren't listening to Him. If you need to make public confession, now's the time, as we stand and as we sing.